This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One day, the great scholar Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he heard someone came and told him that a group of people were speaking ill of him, saying some bad things about them. So he sent them a bowl of dates, with it a message. He said, "It has come to my attention that you have assigned to me, yani you have given me some of your good deeds. I couldn't find anything with which to thank you except this bowl of dates, so please accept it from me. You've given me something really great, your good deeds. So thank you very much, here's some dates. How about that the next time someone does something bad to you? Send them some chocolates, some candy, and a note. You know, thank you very much, I heard you. What are they going to do when you thank you for the chocolate? Very embarrassing now, right? You know, when you consider Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put up with a lot. He put up with a lot from the Arabs, a lot from the Bedouins. These grown men, he gave them tarbiyah, he taught them every aspect of life. One day, the Prophet is sitting in his home, and a man just walks in. He's sitting on the floor, and a man just walks in. Prophet says, "Irja, faqul assalamu alaykum." Go out and say assalamu alaykum. He has to teach them everything. One day, the Prophet is combing his hair, and he notices through a crack in the door, there's someone watching him. Can you imagine the things he had to deal with? So he's combing his hair, then you notice that some guy is just burning a hole into you with his eyes, or looking at him the whole time. So the Prophet ﷺ gives him makes a gesture towards him with the comb, like as if he would strike him with it, to bring to his attention. How much did he have to put up with from people misbehaving? We all know the hadith of the man who urinated in the masjid. Yeah? And the companions lunged at him to stop him, and the Prophet ﷺ said, "Let him finish." And then when he was done, they poured water over it. Then he explained to the man gently. Now, let's do this experiment. Do it in your local town. Not in this masjid, though. But have the sheikh teach this hadith between Maghrib and Isha. Then after you pray Isha, have a brother get up and stand in the corner of the masjid. Preferably have him have with him some green tea or something like that. And just pour it into the corner like he's urinating. This is all hypothetical. Don't do it, okay? But what do you think will happen? I guarantee you that even though we spend an hour talking about gentleness, I think we'll still beat him up. You know? Grab him, you know. We'll find some fatwa. There's masajid had pebbles and sand. We have carpets to beat him. You know? We'll make some excuse to beat the guy up, you know? So, but how do we get to the point where our manners shine through first? We become different like that. We change like that. Now, is it possible to change? And the answer is yes. Allah Azza wa Jal would not require anything of you unless it was attainable. Right? There's no way Allah asks you for something that's impossible to do. Everything is logical, everything is fair in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ explained to us, and people a lot of times they want the quick fix, they want the magical formula. A lot of times it needs training and practice and pushing yourself for years and years on end. And it's that simple. There is no formula. There is no magical statement that someone will tell you or some sheikh has and he will say it to you and you will change. You just have to keep doing it. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum." Yeah? Knowledge is through learning, constant learning, ta'allum. Right? And then he also mentioned, "Wal-hilmu bit-tahallum." Al-hilm is what? What does it mean when you're halim? Not like that halim that you eat. Forget that halim. Yeah? Halim, someone who contains their anger, remains calm, doesn't lose their temper. So he's saying, al-hilmu, to become halim like that, bit-tahallum, by practicing it over and over again. It's not that some statement that we make and next day, you know, khalas, try me, say something mean to me, see. You got the patience all of a sudden. But you have to put effort into it, and it's training. If anyone says anything rude to me, I immediately lose my cool. What can I do? Just train yourself to not lose your cool. You know? And you can do all the other things. You can make wudu, you can change your position, all these things. But there's no formula I'm going to give you, some magical dua that will make you change. Bit-tahallum. Just keep doing it. Keep putting effort. Thing is, we don't put effort a lot of times. And we make excuses for being wrong and for doing things incorrectly. Someone will tell you, give you good advice. "Brother, I notice you always do that." That's my personality. That's who I am. That's how I've always been. Don't you want to improve then? You make excuses for being bad. Give me a reason why you should improve. So, I'll conclude with just more hadith about the importance of good akhlaq and good manners in Islam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the top two things that take people to Jannah. Yeah? The top two things that take people to Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Taqwa Allah wa husn al khuluq. Taqwa Allah, being God conscious, always aware of the fact that Allah is watching you. And good manners. These are the top two things that take you to paradise. Then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the top two things that will take people into the hellfire. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, Al-famu wal-farj, the mouth and the sexual organs. The mouth, what comes out of the mouth? Cursing, lying, backbiting, spreading rumors, cussing. What's all that? Bad manners. So we see good manners, one of the top two things that take people to paradise, and bad manners, one of the top two things that take people to the hellfire. Wal-'iyadu billah. One of the things about the acts of worship is that they came to have an impact on your manners. Look at the acts of worship, and most of them have something to do with your manners. That shows you how important manners are in Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Establish the salah. The salah will prevent the fahsha, the fawahish, and the reprehensible acts. And as far as hajj is concerned, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. You have the act of worship, hajj, and then you have the mannerisms. No argumentation, no fighting, no vain talk in hajj. You have fasting, the act of worship, and the impact it has on your akhlaq. Someone curses you or something, says something rude to you, and your response is, إِنِّي صَائِمٌ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. I am fasting, I am fasting. So even the acts of worship were designed to improve and to impact our akhlaq. So far be it from a believing man or woman to think that they can just put effort into the acts of worship and neglect how they treat people and how they deal with people. And this deals with Muslims and non-Muslims. In the verse we said, وَإِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ. The ignorant people, when they come to them with harsh statements and harsh words, they respond with words of kindness. Many of us think, if it's a kafir, khalas, doesn't matter. If it's a kafir, I can curse him. And you find people, there's some people cursing everybody, all the time like that. But the Prophet ﷺ said, the believer is not li'een, yani constantly cursing. Not justifiable cursing, non-justifiable cursing. No, you don't curse. It's not a khuluq. It's not a mannerism of the believer. Constantly cursing, constantly hating everybody. And there are people who live like that, and I'll close with that. Because we've seen our share of the guy who lives in the West, and he's so miserable. He's so miserable, yeah? And I've met people like that. They just curse everybody. They just see a guy walking, guy says, good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. When he passes, Allah ilanaka rabban futshu jahannam. Okay. Then they see someone driving, and Allah, may Allah overturn the car over your head. But why are you here, ya akhi, if you're so miserable? Why are you here? Some people love to live in misery. And I'll close by telling a story about one of my roommates. This man always wanted to live in a state of perpetual anger, hatred, and just misery. So I'm working on my computer over here. He's on the other side over here. He calls me over. Come on, I want to show you something. I come. And he's showing me some kafir insulting the Prophet ﷺ severely or something like that. So I go back to my workstation. Now I'm upset. Then tomorrow he's like, hey, come on, I want to show you something. I go and he showed me something very offensive. I don't even want to describe it. And something happening in a Muslim land. Okay, now I go back, I'm fuming. Next day he's like, come on, let me show you something. I came and he's like, I told him, listen man, if you're going to show me something that will irritate me, I don't live like that. Okay, I don't seek out things that will irritate me all day, and I stay in a state of anger and hatred and cursing all day. Okay, and he was looking at me like, "What? Seriously? That's how we roll. That's what we do. Stay angry all the time. So we keep cursing people. That's how we get the energy to keep cursing people. That's not a believer." And the Prophet ﷺ cared for people. He cared for people so much that the grief. The Prophet ﷺ, only Allah could have told us this. This is something internal happening with the Prophet ﷺ. This is in Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 6. And Nabi ﷺ, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells him, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. You're going to kill yourself. Perhaps you will kill yourself in grief over their footsteps. They're turning away. آثَارِهِمْ, turning away from you. That they don't accept this message. We would never have known how much the Prophet ﷺ was hurt when the people didn't follow Islam had it not been for this verse. How much he cared for people. And here's a guy walking around cursing everything, even cats, dogs, everything. What is your issue, akhi? Is this the way of your Prophet ﷺ? Frowning? See a Muslim man frown? Haram. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, his description, وكان هاشا باشا لا تلقاه إلا مبتسما. Always cheerful, always in a good mood. You don't see him, and except that he is smiling. So with that then, a reminder for us to step it up a notch when it comes to akhlaq, to being kind, to smiling, to being gentle with one another, Muslim and non-Muslim. Jazakumullah khairan for being an attentive audience. Sallallahu wa baraka ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A world of knowledge awaits you. Enroll now at almaghrib.org.